What's up, everybody, and welcome to the first episode of Great Lakes Fantasy Football Talk, presented by the Fantasy Football Fraternity. I'm your host, Jerry, and this is my co-host, Adam. You might know us better by our tag names, Action Boss and Blitz. On this show, we'll talk all things football, the draft, free agency, and most importantly, fantasy football. In this episode, we'll talk about some recent news and notes, including the Kareem Hunt signing. We'll give our thoughts on the AAF, and we'll talk about the upcoming opening of free agency, including the potential QB carousel. So let's jump right into it. Adam, Kareem Hunt is a Cleveland Brown.
Yeah, and it's really, I'm more of shocked that it happened this soon than it did at all, because super talented. But I figured we'd wait, though. I figured teams would wait until at least they knew what was going on. You know, the suspension or whatever is going to happen, because he is going to be suspended. But I can't blame Cleveland. They got him super cheap. Yeah, I think if he was a free agent right now with none of this behind him, he would have landed a contract a heck of a lot bigger than what the $1.1 million I think he signed for. So it makes sense for Cleveland, I guess.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I didn't think that Cleveland would be one of the teams in the running for him or even be pursuing him because of the sensational rookie of Nick Chubb last year. But it's just... It took me by surprise, but if they could get, depending on what his suspension is, if they get him only out for 6 games or so, and then he comes back for the final 10 games, that's definitely a huge boost to that offense. They could run a 2 or 3 running back, not necessarily set, but run a 2 or 3 running back system. Maybe do something with Duke Johnson, trade him away. I don't see them trading away Nick Chubb. But having Kareem Hunt in that backfield definitely boosts the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, Chubb stays there. I don't think the Kareem Hunt situation, like this whole signing, isn't a potential long term. The contract itself is 1 year. I don't see them re-signing him after this year. Chubb's the guy they're going to build around, him along with Baker to run that offense. This is basically, I think, Hunt, he's from Toledo, played for the University of Toledo. I mean, he's from Ohio. Played for the University of Toledo. I wouldn't be surprised if he's one of Cleveland was like the first team to reach out to him, just because of there's so much connection to Cleveland and Hunt. And why not? You're a team like Cleveland that hasn't made the playoff in years. You finally found your potential franchise quarterback. Why not help him by any signing possible?
I agree. And again, it's going to come down to what that suspension is. I'm hearing anywhere in the area of 6 games to 10 games, possibly even the season. And at 1 year, $1.1 million, it's not a risk at all. It's a risk maybe from the locker room standpoint and the fan standpoint. But on the field, once he's finally suited up and playing games, that's going to be a dangerous backfield.
It is, and it's I honestly thought that it'd take a lot longer OTAs or something, just for some reason. Is look how long it's been about the whole Ray Rice situation. Granted, there was a big gap in age between Hunt being 23 at the time and Rice, I think, being 27 28, but and with what Rice did was worse. He basically knocked his girlfriend out cold. You know, Kareem Hunt, I think, just like kicked her a couple times, but to me they're all in the same. I don't know who else feels like that in Cleveland. Clearly not the organization leaders, but who knows in that locker room, though? Who knows what those other guys think right now? I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how well Hunt meshes in with the rest of the group.
Yeah, and there is no room for it, but I am a firm believer of everybody does deserve a second chance, and we'll just see how it plays out. Let's get into some other controversy that's been going on. The Antonio Brown controversy. There's been numerous tweets and numerous reports coming over the past just couple days about him with the organization, and he's most likely on his way out of Pittsburgh. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of people point at AB for being a bad guy for dishing out the dirty laundry, you know, and but I think it has something to do with Pittsburgh in itself, the organization, the head honchos there. Because today, as we record this podcast, Le'Veon Bell tweeted out since once they announced that they're not going to use the tag on him, you know, basically something along the lines of like freedom felt so good, or it's good to be free. So with him being basically thrilled about being a free agent, and AB basically, you know, dishing out the stuff about Big Ben, how if anybody basically tries to step up, they're done there. I think it's more than just these two players.
Yeah, I could see a little bit of riffraff going on in that locker room. The team is definitely, I wouldn't say that they're falling apart, but they are. There's definitely something going on in there. Two of your star players that have been helping them win games for the past couple of years now, with the exception of Le'Veon Bell last year, are not going to be in black and yellow next year. And now all these different reports are coming out on Twitter. Who's blaming who? And it's a mess. But once they're out of there, I think, we might hear more from other players. You never know. But definitely those two will definitely open things up.
Yeah, it's surprising that, you know, as good as Pittsburgh's been the last couple of years, how they haven't won a Super Bowl with Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, Big Ben. And now all of a sudden they have to kind of rebuild. The accident that happened with Ryan Shazier really took a toll on their defense. And they went from a legitimate Super Bowl contender basically every year the last couple of years to, are they potentially a team that's going to finish last in that division? You know, with the rise of Cleveland and Lamar Jackson going into his second year and the winning streak they went on and how well they performed after he took over, it's something to definitely keep an eye on for the season.
It is, but going back to you mentioned about rebuilding, they definitely have the pieces in place for, well, basically the next chapter. They got Juju Smith-Schuster, who was in the Pro Bowl just a couple weeks ago. They got James Conner, who was also in the Pro Bowl just a couple weeks ago. It seems like Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, while on most teams may not be expendable, in Pittsburgh they are, and they are coming up and definitely. I mean, Ben's got a couple years left, and maybe they can make another push.
That it's definitely something that they can do. As if by my meant rebuild, I didn't actually mean like that's a complete teardown, because they do. They have, to me, they have probably more pieces to work with than they need filled. You know, they got the defensive issues, which we're not going to get into that, but it's losing Le'Veon Bell, who I think is definitely a huge upgrade over Connor. Connor's good, but I don't think he can be the full 16 game, 20 plus touch guy. We kind of somewhat seen that this year. Juju is, I think, going to be a phenomenal player. I want to see how he performs without Antonio Brown being there, because right now the only guy they really have that can be a legitimate threat is James Washington, their second round pick or third round pick out of Oklahoma State, I believe. I don't know if he's going to, he's certainly not going to draw the attention away from Juju like Brown did, but I think Juju's good enough to overcome double teams, but I don't know how frequently he's going to be able to do it.
Yeah, definitely. I think Juju definitely has the tools to be the legit number one there. I was excited about James Washington last year. I think I grabbed him late in a couple rounds of my fantasy drafts. Obviously, it didn't really amount to anything last year, and none of them were dynasty, so I didn't keep him around. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. They're also most likely going to lose Jesse James, the tight end. They still have Vance McDonald. They still have Jalen Samuels. Their offense, they don't need to do much to the offense, and we'll get more into more team needs later on in a later podcast, but it's their defense and depth that they need to worry about. But that's about it for them. I'm excited to see where Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell land. There's a few teams that have close to, if not over, $100 million in cap space to spend this year. My Bills being one of them, the New York Jets, Indianapolis Colts. So we'll see if any of those teams land any of those players.
Would you want Antonio Brown going to Buffalo? Would you be okay with dealing with that in the locker room in case it is him?
I think it's a yes and no answer. I want the Antonio Brown, the player. I want that kind of receiver for my young quarterback in Josh Allen. And I don't, he's not like, yeah, he's every receiver's a diva. But he's not, I don't think he's a locker room cancer to obviously he said some things on Twitter and kind of called out his quarterback. But I think wherever he goes, he's going to step in and step up and be a receiver that you want your quarterback to have. So I would welcome him here with open arms. What about you in Detroit?
I basically feel the same way. I think him, Stafford, Kerryon Johnson, Kenny Galladay, I think that would be a crazy offense, especially if we can go get a tight end. But yeah, give me him. I would love him if he only reported to the team on Sundays. Play the game. That's it. I'm kind of antsy about the whole locker room situation because we do have a good locker room. There are some reports that go about the players not completely agreeing with Matt Patricia, but we've seen how that worked out towards the season's end. They're a family. They stick by each other. You notice when we have the bad losses, the proper people take the blame. And I don't know how Antonio Brown would fit into that. He never really calls anybody out for their bad performances, as far as I can remember. It's just the whole thing about him and Ben, quarterback wide receiver, is supposed to basically be best friends. So that does worry me a little bit that he would call out Ben like that. But we don't know if Ben truly deserves to be called out on. So it's too hard to judge to say downright, no, I don't want him in Detroit, knowing what he can bring us, knowing that we haven't won a playoff game in like 26 years. We've only been to playoffs twice in like 20 years. So basically, as being a Detroit fan, it's almost to the point, as long as it's not too destructive, do whatever you can.
I definitely agree. And there's still a lot to play out. I think one thing's for certain, that Bell and Brown will be trading in their black and yellow jerseys for a different logo this year. And I can't wait to see where that happens.
Yeah, it's going to be fun because these guys, all the drama, you know, Bell sitting out, everything behind, these guys can play, though. There's not a single person that's a real football fan that doesn't enjoy watching these guys.
No doubt. And Antonio Brown will be picked in the top. Actually, both of them will be picked in the top 1 to 2 rounds in fantasy drafts in September. Going into our next topic, we had the AAF, a new developmental football league that started a couple weeks ago. We were heading into week 3 this weekend. There's been some new news actually within the past couple of days on that about funding. Why don't you kick us off with that?
Yeah, the overall, I think the AFF is going to be perfect for football fans, the players, just for a simple reason is no diehard football fan enjoys the off season. Granted, you have guys like us that can talk all year round with our buddies. We can do the podcast. Some of us follow the draft. Like, I'm huge into the draft. So for me, there's no actual regular off season where I don't think about football, but watching it and thinking about it is completely two different things. We get a couple extra months where the off season goes from no football for 6 months to no football for what I think 3, cause I think the league's like 10 weeks long. I'll take that anytime. I think this league's going to be huge for veterans that maybe just have a slow part of their career. Maybe it's due to coming off a couple injury seasons or just the age is getting to them a little bit. But if they can go to this league and build themselves back up, I view this as basically like a minor league system more than anything, especially for like the 6th and 7th round guys that get cut in camp and the undrafted free agents. We see it every year.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's a fun league. I've been able to catch a couple games or at least a couple parts of games. And I think the way that they present it, makes it watchable. It has a CBS broadcast feel. Some of the games are on CBS Sports, but you get that Sunday football feel with those same announcers. It's good football. I mean, there's been some low scoring games and some wacky scoring games, partially because they don't go for extra points. They go for 2 now, but it's overall, it's a good league, and it almost had some problems, but Carolina Hurricanes NHL owner had to throw them $250 million to keep it afloat, and that's it's good that he did that, but we almost saw it fold after 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's definitely a concern, only being 2 weeks in. This is something maybe you could say, all right, it's been, you know, 7-8 weeks, maybe then. But to me, if you're going to start a league, why not make sure 1,000% that you're financially stable for at least your first full season?
Yeah, it's puzzling, but again, it's football for another 8 weeks, 10 weeks after the Super Bowl. It's definitely something that it's nice to watch leading into the off season and the draft season. Moving on here. What?
A good thing to talk about right now, I don't know what you have exactly on the agenda, is two really big cuts for our respective teams happened in the last couple of days.
Yeah. And one of them ended up getting signed. I'll start actually, since I just started. Charles Clay, tight end that we've had here, signed him from Miami. We finally cut the ties with him. It's a bittersweet release. He not necessarily wasn't pulling his weight, but he wasn't flashy. He wasn't what we expected as a tight end, partially because of our quarterbacking here, but it's been I'm kind of glad to see him go, just because I want to see them get a pass catching tight end that we can utilize, that can grow with Josh Allen. And again, I mentioned that Charles Clay was signed. He did sign on with the Arizona Cardinals, giving Josh Rosen another target, somebody that they could use in that offense and hopefully help him develop. And I wish him nothing but the best.
Yeah, him and Jermaine Gresham are going to help. Are really going to help Rosen. I think Clay going to Arizona, I was a fan of Clay wherever he went, as long as he wasn't basically the main option. Because in Buffalo, he wasn't just the main tight end; he was arguably the main option. And I don't think to be the main option in the offense at tight end, I believe you have to be the Gronkowski level, the Travis Kelce level, even the Zach Ertz level, and that's something Clay wasn't.
Yeah, it's something that we expected from the day that we signed him. You can't really blame it on Clay. He did have some big drops, a couple notable drops, but everybody would agree with me that our quarterbacking for the past, well, since Jim Kelly has been below average, and our quarterbacking has been below average. Our offense as a whole has just been below average. You can't blame Clay, but it was time to move on. He was getting paid way too much to perform too little. And it's bittersweet, but I'm happy that he landed a job. I had no doubt that he wasn't going to land a job. I was actually thinking maybe he would go to New England if Gronk decides to hang him up, but he's out there in the desert in Arizona, and I think he's going to be a good fit with Josh Rosen. You had a cut too, as you were getting to. Glover Quinn was released. Let's talk about that.
It's a bummer. Since we signed him, he's played 96 games for us, led the league in interceptions in 2014. When we signed him initially, he was everything that we wanted: a leader on and off the field, a defensive presence, a mentor. The only reason I think a huge reason why Slay, Diggs, I think the Tracy Walker, even though he's a rookie this year and only had 1 year around him, the reason why I think they performed as well as they are now was because of Glover Quinn. Like, you could pick that guy's brain and I think anybody could pick that guy's brain and become like one of the top defensive players in the secondary.
Yeah. And I have no doubt that he's going to be picked up somewhere. He is, looks like he's 33 years old. I think he's still got some years left in him. I'm trying to think of teams that could use a safety. Green Bay could probably use one. Do you think he'd go to a division rival in Green Bay?
Well, there are reports that there's no guarantee he even is going to play next year. He was thinking about retiring, So I don't know if him being released is if that makes him want to just finish it more, or does he want to go to another team? I hope he plays. I enjoy watching him. I see him going anywhere that he thinks is a good fit. I don't know if he'd necessarily go to a rebuild team since he is 33. I can see him going to Green Bay because they do have pieces to be competitive. I can see him going to the Giants, especially with the talk of Landon Collins. Is there's a very good chance he's not coming back for the Giants next year, which would be a huge blow to New York. And I think if they even had a guy that come in, even for a 2-year thing like Quinn, to just come in and fill that gap, I think that would work out.
Yeah, I could see the Giants. I could even see a reunion in Houston, a team that is right on the cusp, that could use some more secondary help. Maybe move them to, or not move them, but maybe have them play free safety. Have them back there, and he definitely. I think if he does go somewhere too, he goes to a contender. Is he at the end of his career, especially for a player in the secondary. 33 is on the older side. Definitely could see him go into a contender, or like you said, possibly not playing at all.
Yeah, and honestly, I think now that you bring up Houston, I think that would be ideal for really any Glover Quinn fan, just for a simple reason is it'd be awesome for him to only play for two teams his whole career. Start with Houston, came to Detroit to help a struggling defense, and then finish his career with a good Houston team. Go back home and then call it a day.
Exactly. Now you mentioned Landon Collins. There's been some rumors and some tweets going on about him that he cleaned out his locker, possibly not going to be back in New York. I don't want to get too much into him, but just give me a team that you think would be a perfect fit for him.
Honestly, I think he'd be a perfect fit for Colts. I mean, the Colts, they hit the nail on the head with Darius Leonard. I think safety could help, getting safety again. Safety could really push that defense over the edge. Malik Hooker is a very good safety. I think there is a couple of injury issues, and I think he's not the elite guy that they need in the back end of that secondary. That'd probably be ideal to me. Houston, as you mentioned, if they don't land Glover Quinn or somebody else, because Tyrann Mathieu is a free agent for Houston, so that would be a nice swap.
Yeah, I could see them. I could even see him staying. He could just move his locker right across the hall, staying in New York. Give him a chance to play with Jamal Adams. They have the second most cap space to spend this year. They're going to be heavy in the free agent market. Getting some weapons for Sam Darnold, bolstering up that defense, and maybe even making a run to try to take over New England in the AFC East. New York definitely has the money. Can they put it all together? Can they put a team out? Can they field a team that can compete not just with the Patriots but with the rest of the AFC? They definitely have the funds to do it. And seeing Landon Collins stay in New York just wearing green instead of blue, that's a possibility too.
No, that's a strong possibility. Jamal Adams is one of the best young safeties there is. Marcus May, who they picked in the same draft as him, I think he's better suited as in a backup role, or maybe even a utility role. I think they can put him at corner a little bit. But it's definitely going to be this free agent class is going to be crazy between free agency and the players that are on the trade block. And I'll tell you now, in our future pod, I can't wait to break all this stuff down.
Yeah, I just wanted to touch on that a little bit. We're obviously going to talk about probably more positional rankings in different pods, but I just wanted to talk about that just because it was more recent news. Let's get into what we came to talk about, though, the quarterback carousel. We each took three quarterbacks that potentially or are already free agents. One of them ended up going to his new team that we'll get into more of that in a minute, but let's get into these here. And I guess I'll start because that I'll talk about the guy that I had, Joe Flacco. And when we originally started talking about doing this pod, it was about 2 weeks ago, maybe a week and a half ago. And we were talking about where we thought these players would go. and I had Joe Flacco going to the Broncos, and that's obviously where he ended up. I didn't think it was going to be via trade. I thought maybe he would get cut and Broncos would pick him up, figuring out what they would do with Case Keenum. But he ended up, that's where he ended, and I think it's a good fit. What do you think about it? I'll get into it more in a minute, but what do you think about it there?
Well, I'm surprised that you guessed this correctly. Like, it's crazy because you said it about, I think it was about 3 or 4 days before it actually happened, which is awesome because nobody expected something to happen that week. Who knows why he even thought that? Maybe you know something we all don't know, but you hit out the ballpark a couple days prior before it even happened.
It's a team that needs a quarterback, and Case Keenum, he was a one-trick pony. So Flacco going there, he's put in a good situation. And in our chat, our admin group chat, you know exactly what I feel about it. And we got a couple Broncos fans in that same chat, and they feel good about it too. But he's in a situation where he's not going to be expected to do much. Denver really, they need a couple things, but quarterback was obviously one of them. They don't need anybody that's flashy. They have a dominant defense. They have a pair of good young wide receivers coupled with Emmanuel Sanders. They got a rookie sensation of Philip Lindsay from last year to go with Royce Freeman and to go with Devontae Booker. So their backfield is solid. I think that Denver was the perfect fit for any quarterback, honestly, but for Flacco to go there, and he immediately takes them from, I think they, where did they finish, 6-10 or 5-11, but he immediately takes them to a potential wild card spot. They're not taking over Kansas City, and they're not taking over the Chargers, but they're definitely going to be contending into December, and it's a good fit for them.
Yeah, it works out perfectly, because like you said, Flacco, he's more of a game manager than anything else. He has a good arm on him, but he doesn't make the huge bombs at the end of the game to, you know, to win it all or whatever. He manages the team throughout the whole game. He gets it done. He's a guy that will go and give you 200, barely over 200 yards, maybe pass for a couple touchdowns on a good day. But he puts you in spots where you can run the ball. He'll get you inside the red zone. And, yeah, with the way the team's built around him, him or anyone else other than Case Keenum clearly would thrive around.
Yeah. And we talked about this a little bit offset, but about how the Broncos, I think, are better suited. Give me the Broncos, put me as a quarterback for the Broncos with the team that they got over another dominant defense, but a little less weapons in Jacksonville. And that's where my next quarterback will be, but we'll let you talk about your quarterback first. But we were talking earlier about how you would rather have Philip Lindsay and a Royce Freeman over Fournette for a combination of 16 games. Now, obviously, one-on-one, you're probably taking Fournette. You're drafting Fournette higher in fantasy. You're taking Fournette higher anywhere you go. But over 16 games of real football, real-life football, you're taking Philip Lindsay and Royce Freeman. And that's exactly the situation that Flacco's in.
Yeah, when you're a quarterback and you look at, even if you're a free agent quarterback and you look at a certain team, for me it'd be, all right, they're going to give me all the big money. But if I really care about winning more than anything else, yeah, if I look at the team and I go, all right, I have a stud running back. And Fournette, when healthy, is a stud. But if he can only play half a season, well, then I'm looking at it, all right, well, if they don't have any depth behind him, then that means this is on me then. Those games that he's not playing, that means I have to be basically the top player on my team because I have to feed my wide receivers. And if I'm in Jacksonville, who I think their receivers are more underrated than anything else, but I think they're filled with a bunch of twos and threes.
Yeah, exactly.
That would worry me a little bit. Now, if I'm in Denver, Emmanuel Sanders is a good 1-2 guy. I think Deshaun Hamilton is going to be a good 3. But the real one is Courtland Sutton. I think he is definitely a future number 1, and I think the future starts now for him. I believe in fantasy drafts he'll finish as a top 20 receiver more than likely. I think Flacco's going to love him because he's a big-bodied receiver. I would feel more comfortable going and knowing I'd have better surrounding offensive parts.
Yeah, and there's also the possibility of them bringing back Demaryius Thomas. I mean, I haven't heard any rumors, but you can always see a reunion. No matter whenever a player becomes a free agent, there's always the opportunity for a reunion. So Demaryius Thomas is also open to go back if they want to grab him on the cheap. But let's get into the next one now. Obviously, I'm going to be replacing Bortles in Jacksonville, but you have Bortles going somewhere. Where do you got him going?
I had him going to Tampa Bay, and not necessarily to be a starter, because I believe his days as being a full-time starter once he's gone from Jacksonville are done. But with Ryan Fitzpatrick being a free agent, I think Jameis Winston needs a backup where, if he were to get hurt, which he has had some minor injuries that have bugged him a little bit, or whatever happens, because we do know his off-the-field concerns. They need a team. They need a quarterback who can go out there and put him in a position to win. Bruce Arians is basically a guru at quarterbacks. As long as Winston stays healthy and keeps his head on straight, Bortles will sit on the bench. But I think it'd be good for him to, even if he wants to revive his career to be a potential starter, signing a 1 or 2 year deal, because I do believe he's going to be cut. Signing a 1 or 2 year deal with a team with a head coach like Bruce Arians, that could help you in the future, because Bortles is still fairly young.
Yeah, he's still young. He's another game manager. We're going to use that word a couple times on this podcast, but I really don't have an opinion on him. He can anywhere he goes, he's most likely going to be a backup. Even the teams that desperately need a quarterback, I think he's just going to be sitting on the bench. Tampa is a good chance for him to go in and maybe start a couple games. You mentioned Winston and his off the field issues, if there are any more. You got Winston possibly getting benched. You got Winston possibly getting injured. So Bortles definitely, and whoever their backup is, can definitely go in there and start some games if needed. And Bortles wouldn't be a bad choice there. They have one of the top receivers in the entire league, in Mike Evans. They still have to find some other guy on the outside. I don't know what's going on with DeSean Jackson, and Humphreys is a free agent. They still have Chris Godwin, though, a pair of tight ends. So they have weapons in that offense. So Bortles going there, he'll definitely have the help. I think he'll have more help there than he did in Jacksonville, aside from when he had Allen Hurns and Allen Robinson. But I think he's got better talent in Tampa if that's where he ends up going.
Right. And outside of the running back position, when it comes to offense, Tampa's offense, I think overall is better than Jacksonville's.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. Now, speaking of Jacksonville, I am replacing Bortles in Jacksonville with another one that any football fan is going to guess, Nick Foles. I feel like I'm getting the easy ones here. But Nick Foles, I could definitely see him. He's looking for a starting gig. He could either be traded or he's going to end up hitting free agency. But he's definitely he's I don't think he's going to be in a Philly uniform next year. And Jacksonville is where he's going to go, and that is it's another perfect fit. It's Joe Flacco all over again. They have a dominant defense. They do have weapons on the outside. We mentioned Leonard Fournette too. They have Leonard Fournette, but their wide receivers are good. I would still take Denver's wide receivers over Jacksonville's, but I will take Nick Foles over Joe Flacco. So comparing those two, putting Foles in that situation, and they don't have a lot of cap space, so they really can't make a lot of moves. But I think they could get another weapon in there or two. They don't really have to do much to that defense, and whatever they do on defense, they could probably do in the draft. So not spending a lot of cap there, and they can definitely they had a down year this year, and it's amazing what kind of year that they had, because they were literally a couple plays away from playing in the Super Bowl a couple years ago, and to have the kind of year that they had this year, just a little bit of retooling. They got to get a quarterback in there. Not putting all the blame on Bortles' shoulders, but having Foles in there, there would definitely spell for different results.
Yeah, and I think if Nick Foles was on the Jags 2 years ago, I think he still wins the Super Bowl. I think he plays in that AFC championship game against the Patriots. They beat the Patriots. I think they beat the Eagles in the Super Bowl with Nick Foles. Because what Nick Foles was doing at that time was just pretty incredible. You know, being on the bench for a while, Carson Wentz kind of running away with MVP before he got hurt. And then you just get called up, all right, you got to go in. And I think they lose what? I think one game, maybe two, with Foles starting that year. So, yeah, things I think definitely would be different. I think Nick Foles is better than Flacco, where he can get more out of less, I think, than what Flacco could. Flacco, for him to thrive, he does need some talent. Foles makes his wide receivers a little bit better than he makes them look better.
Yeah.
And I think he could definitely do that with Marquise Lee and, you know, the rest of the guys there. So it's going to be I'm hoping he goes there, but with the lack of cap space, how much do they have the money to even really make him an offer? I have heard rumors about some defensive guys potentially being cut to save cap space. So it's definitely something to keep your eye out for.
I mean, they got to do something. The last time I checked the cap space, they were in the red. They were in the negative. So they definitely got to do something. But Foles would be, obviously, they would have to make some space for him, but Foles would be a good fit as far as what they need to make an immediate impact. They're in a division with Andrew Luck, and they're in a division with an overall good talent of the Houston Texans. So they need something to kind of compete with them. Moving on, you got Teddy Bridgewater, who was backing up Drew Brees. You got him going somewhere else.
Yeah, I have him going to Cincy. I think with a new quarterback or a new coach, I think it's time for them to get a new quarterback. Dalton, he's been there for years, hasn't won the playoff game. They have made the playoffs four times. It's just in those four playoff games, Dalton has thrown for a combined zero touchdowns. And he's averaging barely over 200 pass yards a game in those playoff games. So clearly he's not the answer there. He has A.J. Green. He had Tyler Eifert when Tyler Eifert didn't have the injury concerns. He was just a dominant, basically tight end one. You could say he was a top three tight end at the time before injuries took over. And still couldn't get nothing done. So I say Teddy, who's 26, I believe. He might be turning 27 this year. I think he's still – some people might sleep on him, but I think he's a franchise guy. He's shown what he can do with Minnesota before he had that gruesome knee injury. But he's 2 years removed, still young, still super talented. That knee injury didn't affect his arm or his football IQ. So – honestly, if I was any team compared to the guys in the draft, I say give me Teddy Bridgewater to build my team around. And I think this guy could go in, lead Cincinnati to maybe a division title finally.
Yeah, Teddy's definitely going to be a hot name. And unless the Saints sign him before free agency opens, he's going to be one of the most sought after free agents. And he could step into any team that needs a quarterback and pretty much start right away. The knee injury a couple years ago definitely was gruesome. I do remember seeing highlights and well, not highlights, but I do remember seeing replays of that. And it kind of made me cringe a little bit, but seems like he's back, backing up Drew Brees last year. And when you back up Drew Brees, you don't get a lot of chance to play, but he is going to Cincinnati. I think it's a perfect fit for him. They are another team that does have weapons on the outside. They still have AJ Green there. He's been rumored to possibly be in trade talks, but until that happens, he's still with the Bengals. They have Tyler Boyd. You mentioned Tyler Eifert. They definitely need to look at another tight end. They need somebody that's more reliable. But the big name that sticks out to me in that offense is Joe Mixon. He's one of the best young running backs in the league now. He's going top 1 to 2 rounds in fantasy drafts. He's a guy that I have my eyes on in my redraft leagues. He's helped carry me to a couple championships last year. It's they don't have the luxury of the defenses that the Broncos and the Jags do. And that's definitely something where they'll need to spend some money this offseason and in the draft and if they want to compete. But as we mentioned earlier, when we're talking about Pittsburgh, that division is wide open. And Cincinnati kind of comes in as a dark horse. They are a quarterback and a couple of key players on defense away from taking over that division, just like any one of those other teams with Lamar Jackson in Baltimore and Baker Mayfield in Cleveland. And you still got Big Ben, who's still elite, but that, like, coming up from the bottom there, they could go out and get a Bridgewater, fill some holes on defense, and they could be competing for the AFC North too.
Yeah, because if they re-sign Bridgewater, the way this draft is defensively, they could compete right away if they draft smart right away. I mean, you can go and get yourself another defensive tackle to pair with Geno Atkins. You could go get a linebacker to replace Vontaze Burfict if you needed to. This draft overall for defensive players is ideal for any team that needs key pieces. And to mention your point about, you know, potentially the Saints re-signing Teddy, I think that could happen. I mean, if I was Teddy, I think I'm set in New Orleans. But if I want to play really bad, I would go, and knowing I'm 26, I would talk to Drew Brees, and I would just go, look, no disrespect, how long do you plan on playing for? And, you know, with Brees being, what, 40 or just about 40? I believe he is 40.
I think he's 40, yeah.
You know, he goes 1 year, maybe, depending on what goes on. I'd sign, because once Brees leaves, you have the keys to the kingdom. I mean, the whole kingdom. You have Kamara. You have Michael Thomas. You know, you have a defense with some pieces there. It's not a horrible defense like it once was. You know, why not?
Yeah, why not? It's New Orleans would definitely be a good fit for him. Bridgewater staying in New Orleans, I could definitely see happening. It's like the Josh McDaniels thing all over again. He's had numerous opportunities to go coach somewhere else, but he's waiting in New England. He wants to take that spot over, and that's what Bridgewater can do. He could wait in New Orleans and take over that spot and be set up. Definitely an option there.
Yeah, and who knows? They might look at, you know, the Saints might look the same way. We got a 26-year-old quarterback who we know what he can do. He showed what he could do before he got hurt. Why not sign him to a 2 or 3 year deal with a decent amount of money to convince Teddy to sit on the bench for another year
and possibly win a Super Bowl ring? They definitely have the talent to do it, and Drew Brees could carry him there.
Yeah, absolutely. Their key offensive guys are younger than Bridgewater himself, and Bridgewater's 26. So they're built for a dynasty, really.
Exactly. My last guy that I want to talk about, and he kind of flies under the radar too, is Tyrod Taylor. And I got him going to one of my division rivals. As a Buffalo Bills fan, I got him going to Miami. I think it's a good fit for him there. No team ever wants to talk about any kind of tanking, but I think Miami is in a perfect position to grab a Tyrod Taylor, win a couple of games here, but they're not going to do any damage this year. They're just not in that position. And grab Tyrod Taylor, sign him to a 1 or 2 year deal, preferably a 2 year deal. Have him play this year. Have him draft their guy next year to Jake Fromm, Justin Herbert, whoever it may be. Have him learn under Tyrod for a year, and then have him take over in 2020 or 2021. But it's definitely Tyrod to Miami seems like a perfect fit to me. I'm sure there's other people that would disagree and want him to go elsewhere or even stay in Cleveland and back up Baker Mayfield. But he's still mildly young. I think he's 29, 28. But he doesn't have a lot of baggage on him. He was a starter for 3 years, 2.5, 3 years here in Buffalo. He didn't start last year except for game one in Cleveland. And then he backed up Joe Flacco for 6 years. And so he's got some time left in this league. And is he a top quarterback by any means? No, he's not a 250, 300-yard passer, but he doesn't turn the ball over, and he can win you games. Not by himself, but he can put you in a position to win games. And Miami just seems like a good fit to go young, to get him, but also be able to build for their future.
Right, and there has been reports stating that management prefers the 2020 class, which you can't blame them. There's massive potential in that 2020 QB class with Fromm and Herbert and Tua. So it you're right. It'd make sense. If I was a general manager, knowing that I'm gonna have a rookie QB within the next year or two, I would love to have Tyrod Taylor, you know, to basically mentor him. You've seen how Baker has even said about how great of a guy Tyrod is, how much he's helped him. And I think a lot of his success, you know, speaking of Baker, you know, a lot of his success can be credited to, I think, Tyrod, because Tyrod, he's basically, you know, when he came to Cleveland, he's basically said, you know, told, hey, this is going to be your team for at least this year. We want Baker to sit. And it just didn't happen. Baker had too much talent to sit. And you never heard a negative word coming from Tyrod.
No, he's the ultimate team player. I was excited when we got him. I didn't know much about him when we got him from Baltimore. But after watching him in the preseason and watching him beat out EJ Manuel and Matt Castle, who, while those names do not wow anybody, I was excited going into the 2015 season with him as our quarterback, and just to see what can happen. And he was an exciting player. He put fans in their seats. He made some nice plays. He was a different type of quarterback than what we were used to. Not necessarily, he was a running quarterback, but he wasn't. He just wasn't the kind of player that we were used to. It kind of brought a different energy to us. And then he just kind of fell out of favor because he wasn't really improving. He was kind of staying stationary. And you know as well as anybody, being a fan of Detroit, that you want things to kind of happen immediately. And it just doesn't happen like that. But that's how us Buffalo fans are. That's how you Detroit fans are. That's how the Cleveland fans are. If something's not happening right away, you want change. And he kind of just fell out of favor here. But I definitely see him starting again in this league. Maybe not even a full season, maybe just to help out a young guy. But I think the best chance for him to start a full season would be in Miami next year.
Right. And in his development, it's done. I think he's reached his potential in everything, because with him pushing 30 and him being in the league, I think for 8 or 9 years, if he hasn't hit another gear since, you know, basically he got traded to Buffalo, I don't see it happening now. But he is still a very serviceable starter.
Definitely. And he has a ring with Joe Flacco when they beat San Francisco, so he's got that experience too.
Yeah, not bad for a guy picked in like the fifth round.
Exactly. So obviously we have Tyrod going to Miami, which leaves Tannehill out on the streets. Where's he going?
I have him filling in for Alex Smith in Washington. I think Smith and Tannehill are very similar. They're both sneaky athletic. They can extend the play with their legs. If they have to run a little bit, they can run. He's not flashy. He's shown moments where it looks like I can really build around this guy. This guy can be our franchise piece. I think most of his failures have came from the lack of support around in Miami. They never really gave him any true offensive weapons outside of Jarvis Landry, who they ended up trading away. He's never had a legitimate tight end threat. He's never had that big-bodied Kelvin Johnson, A.J. Green, Mike Evans-type guy to rely on. You've seen how well he did with Landry. Landry was getting 100 catches a season for three years straight with him.
Yep.
So clearly there's something there. When you have a legitimate talent at receiver, he can expose that talent. Like he literally milked Landry for everything he could. It was just when you have guys like Albert Wilson, you had guys like I'm drawing blanks here. And that basically tells you right there, I'm drawing blanks.
Kenny Stills.
Kenny Stills. It's like, I'm drawing blanks and I watch football. I watch not just the Lions. I literally watch every football team. Whenever football's on, I watch it. And I'm drawing blanks.
Well, he's... You give him... I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Continue.
Well, I was going to say, he's been in my division for, well, ever since his career started. And he's never really scared me. And Buffalo seems to play Miami pretty tight. Usually split the series or not a lot of times, but we've swept them before and rarely ever get swept by them. Tannehill has never really scared me, but I think Washington is a good fit for him. I think, again, any quarterback that goes into Washington isn't a good opportunity, good situation. It's another team that does have weapons there. Definitely would have a lot better weapons than what he had in Miami, especially since they did trade away Landry. Parker really didn't live up to any kind of expectations. But going into Washington, you got Josh Doctson, you got Paul Richardson, you got Jameson Crowder, you got Jordan Reed if he could stay healthy, Vernon Davis if he doesn't retire, and then you got a guy that was excited to see last year, excited to see where he got drafted. Finally got drafted to Washington, but ended up getting hurt, Darius Geis. And having those five or six weapons that I just named is a dream for any quarterback. And I mean, those aren't the flashiest wide receivers, but it's a combination of three wide receivers, two tight ends, and a running back that you just have. You throw the ball and one of your guys is bound to come down with it and pad your stats. So a guy like Tannehill is a perfect fit for Washington because he's a kind of guy that does need those kind of weapons. He's not going to win you games single-handedly, but put the ball in one of those playmakers' hands and you're going to win some games.
Agreed. And can you imagine if they brought back Adrian Peterson? I mean, have a reliable, you know, basically workhorse like that, that just makes your job a whole lot easier.
Yeah, no doubt. It's going to be exciting to see where any of these quarterbacks go. And for bragging rights, I hope we're right on all of them. We're already right on one of them. Couple things we got coming up later on in different podcasts. We're going to get into the draft. Speaking of the draft, we got a couple news and notes. Kyler Murray choosing the NFL after being drafted in the MLB draft by the Oakland Athletics. Want to get into that. Actually, quite a bit I want to get into that. So let's start with that. What's your thoughts on that?
It's, I think, a more of a safer bet for him career-wise. He'll get drafted, even though there's questions about his size in the NFL. He will get drafted top five. A very good chance of being top one, depending on how he performs at the combine. Which is I'm hearing reports that he's not going to throw, which kind of bums me out a little bit. But nevertheless, he's a first round talent, and he'll probably start his rookie year. You can't say that with him being in baseball, even though he was a ninth round. You know, I think the number nine pick in the MLB draft. Those guys in MLB, they don't play for 2-3 years unless you're a Mike Trout or a Bryce Harper, who I think only stay in the minors for like a year. He'd have to wait. I mean, granted, he gets paid, but if he likes being competitive and playing with, like, the best of the best, going to the NFL is the way to go for a right-now situation.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And what's better than winning at the top of the at the NFL? And I don't think anything. I mean, winning an MLB championship – and I might be a little biased saying this, but winning an MLB championship does not compare to winning a Super Bowl in the NFL, possibly being the MVP too. So I think Murray going to the NFL is a smart decision, best opportunity to make money right away, and to make more of it. And he's projected high pick. I don't think he goes as high as one unless a team does move up for one. I don't see Arizona taking him, but around the middle of the first and possibly as low as Denver at 10, but possibly not. But with Tampa at 5, the Giants at 6, and Jacksonville at 7, I can see one of them three possibly taking him, and he'd start – maybe not in Tampa right away. I think Bruce wants to see what he could get out of Jameis, but in New York and Jacksonville, if Foles doesn't go there, he's starting day one on one of those two teams.
Absolutely. And just for all of our listeners, when we predict where these guys are going to go, this doesn't rule out them drafting a guy. For Tannehill, you know, I believe if Tannehill went to Washington with Smith, who knows when he comes back, if he comes back, I still think they draft a quarterback as well. So we're not saying these guys that go to these teams rules them out of drafting, you know, that position as well. These could be just stop gaps or just guys we think can go in and help for the like for whatever position they're at, help that rookie.
Exactly. Last thing I want to get into before we close up for today is another projected top pick or top first round pick, Jeffrey Simmons out of Mississippi State, the defensive tackle, tore his ACL. Obviously, that's going to drop his stock a little bit, but I still project him going in even in the first, but possibly the second round. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's a bummer for him. He was basically from everything I was hearing, he was probably going to be a top 25 pick. I don't necessarily see a team getting him in the first round now. I have more of a second, third round grade on him. I think the farthest he'll fall is the fourth, just because more likely his rookie year is gone. But that being said, a great defensive line. Him going to a team with a great defensive line could boost his stock up a little bit, where it's like we can afford to, you know, just bite the bullet, like you said before when we talked about this, and just pull the trigger on him. You know, why not go and grab him in the second or third round when you're basically, say, Denver, for instance? They can wait. You know, they have Von Miller, Bradley Chubb. They got guys that can get to the quarterback if there was a game played the day after the draft. So they necessarily don't need him this year, but it can pay huge dividends in the future.
Exactly. And a couple of our, as we mentioned before, a couple of our admins on our group chat, two of them are Broncos fans, and they would welcome Simmons with open arms. One of them really wants him in the second round. They want to grab a need in the first round, and then in the second round, take the chance on Simmons, have him on the roster, and just bolster that defense even more.
Yeah, he's definitely worth it. The talent's there. Now, he does come with a little bit of a baggage, too, as in off-the-field concerns. So I don't know exactly how much that was going to affect him once people start digging in deeper. But, yeah, if you can afford the one-year wait, I say go for any team that needs it. You know, Jacksonville could be somebody, because there's been reports of them possibly releasing Malik Hooker or Malik Jackson to save some cap space. So that could be a potential fit, too. I don't see him really getting deep into day three, if at all. But at the end of the day, though, he is going to be losing out on money.
Exactly. And that's all the time that we have for today. If you like what you've heard and want to hear more from us, make sure you check us out on Facebook at Fantasy Football Fraternity. You can also follow us on Twitter at Fantasy Frat FFF. Stay up to date with our future podcasts, fantasy advice, draft talk, and much more.
All right, guys. Thank you. We'll see you soon.